Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brennan. Go by SEC Mike. Go on the Twitter's the cousin that shows up. Still waiting for the other cousin. Get tired of waiting. But, doing multiple podcasts. I can show up for multiple podcasts. Shane, it's hard for him to show up on time for one. But maybe he's just getting into the celebratory mood, because we've got the SEC basketball tournament kicking off this week in Nashville. We were on with Marla earlier, breaking it all down. Man, we're tipping off tomorrow, so that'll be a lot of fun with LSU, Kentucky. Kentucky, I haven't seen them yet, but I haven't looked out the window today either. But these big blue losers, they take over the town, so maybe Shane is painting his face blue for the tournament. I don't know. Let's ask him. Oh, shit. I thought that was going to be a cool reveal. He's still not on.
Why is he not on?
There he is.
Hey. Oh, buddy.
I told him you were busy walking. I lied to him.
Yeah. No walk yet. Maybe not today, brother. Listen, I'm listed day-to-day right now. All right. If an injury report came out, I went golfing today. I did some activities, but man, it's catching up to me, Mike. It's catching up to me. I've got 5 miles to knock out by Thursday at midnight. So that means if I do at least one today, I'd have to do 2 the next 2 days, and then I would be complete. If I take today off, then it's a 3-2. And, you know, that's what
Wait,
happens.
Wait, so basically you're sending $1,000, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what it was?
If I don't get it done by midnight Thursday, yeah, I'm probably going to walk. But, damn, I tell you, brother. I'm just saying, it's good to be on here. It's good to see everybody. And just bear with me. I apologize for being late, as usual.
I made it on time to 2 shows today, Shane. But hey, be that as it is, I told him you were just excited for the SEC tournament. So
that's it.
You just couldn't control your excitement. So I get it. I get it. Any thoughts on this upcoming basketball tournament that you're excited to see? I know we've kind of touched on it, but anything from Cousin Shane's vantage point?
You know, for me, it's just kind of like a, God, I hate to say it. It's like an appetizer for the March Madness, right? Yeah. For me, it just some of these battles that we're going to see are going to be the same ones that we potentially will see here in 3 weeks. So for me, it's just we can't just keep kicking the can. We can't say, oh, well, you know, we're resting up. It doesn't mean nothing. You know, that's the kind of conversations that we have. I think we're at that point now, like we're going to see the best basketball that we've seen all year long in the SEC. So it's just, you gotta hit the ground running during this tournament because the big one's right behind it.
Isn't it one of those though, Shane, where like, maybe you're not too fired up for it because the NCAA tournaments are right around the bend, but then your team wins a game or two and then you're all in, buddy. Oh, we're going to win the title. And then if you lose in the championship, you're like, then you just get pissed off again. So,
yeah, I've already seen the Gators, you know, they're just like hanging banners already, baby, you know? So,
hey, how about Derek's? Does every Vandy win in the tournament add another mile?
Hell no. Hell no. No, I mean, I've done 7 so far, so pretty impressive. I mean,
7 in 4 months.
If you know me, yeah, but realistically here in the week, within the last week, I've done it. Okay. So, but yeah, I still got 5 to go. And it's almost like when I did that walk for Florida, you know, the first 3-4. Back then, I think I was in better shape. You know, that was moving pretty good. But then you get to that last kind of, that last leg of it, and you're like, ugh, another walk.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you always get it in your head to do these extreme challenges 12 miles in a week. You had months to do it. You could have
knocked out a quarter. Like 12 hambburgers or something, you know. I should have done it smarter, but
you could have done 1 mile a week for you would have had it done before March kicked off.
I could have done like half a mile, you know, like one lap, a quarter mile. But no, this is what I did it. I've done it every year for my entire life, Mike. I did it in high school. I did it in college. I did it, you know, any work that I need to do. Even my first, like, job, I remember putting everything off to the very last second and just trying to knock it out. Of course, then you mess something up, and they're like, oh, man, you had all day to work on this.
Razorback Pride, maybe the million-dollar idea. He's starting a GoFundMe. He's going to get you a treadmill, and you have to walk while you do the show every night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. You think you – yeah. Yeah, let's no, that ain't going to happen. I'll be calling out all the time. I'll be like, oh, I don't feel like doing it today, man.
Ashley Schaefer says, one ice cream cake is punishment every time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, all right, buddy. Shit. Hey, let's get into it. Last time we had you on.
Yeah.
Or since the last time we've had you on. I don't know if you caught this. Greg Sankey, our fearless leader.
Yeah.
He was on Paul Feinbaum yesterday, and it was a really good interview. I highly recommend you all go check it out if you have an opportunity. But the kind of the highlight of it, Shane, Paul asked him, hey, if things keep going this way and the SEC doesn't get what they want to get, could the SEC go alone in terms of, I mean, I break that down any way you want. They didn't really get specific, but I think they meant, you know, postseason, maybe even just regular season. I don't know. But let's say the SEC does say, to hell with the Big Ten and all these other losers.
Yeah.
We're just going all SEC. Greg Sankey said, you know, that option is on the table. What's your thoughts on that?
Scare tactic, right? That's not an option that's on the table, Mike. But it is an option that needs to be floated out there so that you can kind of put a little fear into this committee selection, to this – you know, postseason, what it's going to look like. This is what you have to say as a SEC, you know, commissioner, in my opinion. Does it happen? Absolutely not. But you got to have that fear there, because if SEC teams aren't making it because we're going, you know, because we're beating the hell out of each other, and you're looking at some of these other conferences that maybe have two or three elite games at most, it fails in comparison. So a dummy can see that the schedule is going to be a bit tougher. There's going to be more losses, and there's going to be more reasons on why a 9-3 team should be in over a 10-2 Big Ten or something along those lines.
Well, I'll tell you this, Shane. I don't think you should outright dismiss it. I really don't. Because I think if the SEC goes down that road, imagine. I mean, I don't think you were too fired up for Oregon, JMU, were you?
Yeah.
Or even Tulane, Ole Miss, some of these other BS games.
Right.
Imagine if the first two rounds, all SEC at home stadiums.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how much more fired up would you be for all those games? And if the SEC really did do this, Shane, I guarantee you they ain't sticking at 16 either. They'll probably add... I mean, I don't know who it would be, but maybe a North Carolina, Virginia, that's been floated out there. Maybe a Miami, Clemson, maybe a Florida State, you know, or he'll probably gobble them all up. And then that'll be the SEC. Because if they're really going all in, just SEC, I think they're going to get the best of the best and make this product, which I couldn't imagine it getting any better, Shane, but making it even better. You know what?
I think what would be more realistic, Mike, is striking a deal with the Big Ten and creating a AFC, NFC, NFL team, you know, kind of like the Super Bowl, like we're doing now. I could say, hey, why are we splitting money with all these Yahoos, JMUs, like you talked about, and Tulanes, when we could just keep all the money, put in, you know, your six best, our six best, and let this thing ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is,
I think
a much more realistic scenario. But at the same time, SEC and Big Ten can't seem to agree on damn near anything these days.
Yeah, but if it gets to a point where Sankey's like, well, you know, we ain't going to do it. I mean, why wouldn't you want to float that idea to the Big Ten that also wants more teams in there? So, yeah, I feel like that would be something to keep an eye on and monitor. But again, right now it's all lip service, in my opinion. you know, in the off season here. It's just stuff that we fuel the off season with, and then we'll get down to Florida and we won't even mention it again. So, I don't mind the flex, but you know, how can you sit over here in this conference watching what we saw last year and I mean, hell, the last few seasons with some of the teams that they picked and say, okay, now that our schedules are getting tougher, you know, are they more likely to let more of our teams in or less of our teams in? So I could see why it's a little bit of a power struggle right now.
Yeah. And also shout out to Heather Denich, ESPN college football reporter. So this is an interesting update. This is from today, Shane. Mississippi State President Mark Keenum, he's also, I believe, chancellor of the SEC, said SEC presidents and chancellors are meeting this week in Nashville, probably with cousin Shane, with the hopes of starting to establish some real rules and guidance for the league and others, because they're assuming Congress cannot establish federal legislation quickly enough on NIL. They aren't expected to make any monumental decisions, but would like to get a framework started before the SEC holds the spring meetings in Destin. They are fed up with the status quo. So again, Shane, this is more of this bluster, in my opinion. SEC may go it alone, and if they're going to... They're going to set out, I mean, they can't set rules for the Big Ten or anything like that, but they can set their own rules, and this is interesting to me.
It's very, right? I mean, we've been kicking the can for, it feels like, 4 years, you know, but we're not getting anything. We're not getting anything out of it. We keep hearing the same sound bites, the same shit every year at media days. And it's like, we got to do something. We got to put guidelines on this thing, but nothing ever happens. So, yeah, I feel like when you got a round table with the president of the United States and Nick Saban's there, you know, I feel like, okay, well, there's a spotlight on this thing. Maybe we should get this ball actually rolling. And I feel like that's kind of where we're at.
It's interesting, Shane.
See what Josh Pate did? You know, he started all this.
How do we get into this room, you think? Where are they holding this meeting? If we find out, I think I can pinpoint it here in Nashville, this meeting, just to be a, like, have a listening device in there or something. How great would that be? Or just put it live on the podcast.
Do you think I could blend in like Beverly Hills Ninja? Just.
You're serving them beverages and stuff?
Yeah, just keep dropping. Yeah, like, how long's he been here? It's got to be kind of a fancy restaurant, right? Maybe a shutdown. I would imagine
it's going to be a hotel. I think I even know the hotel, to be honest with you.
Oh.
But I don't want to say, because I don't want everybody showing up all at once.
What's it rhyme with? Damada?
No, not Damada. Hey, but... we got some spring football to tackle here, Shane.
Okay, let's do it.
It is getting off here all across the conference, getting excited. I think they're still in the portion, though, where they're largely, like, not in pads or not quite hitting each other just yet for the most part. But it is just fun to sit here and discuss. And your man crush, John Sumrall, I don't know if you've seen this, Shane. This is the comment of the spring already. Let's kick it over to John Sumrall.
Yeah, it's my wife's 40th birthday and our 15th anniversary this year. We were supposed to go to Italy for spring break, and I took this job. So we're gonna do something here in the state, but we'll not be going to Italy because I got too much shit to do.
Got too much shit to do. Sorry, honey. You didn't ask him about that.
No. That's why I always tell my wife. I'm like, well, there's Paris, Tennessee, you know, there's London, Kentucky. Where shall we be going this offseason?
But I love the fact that, hey, we're not in Tulane anymore, right?
Yeah.
You can't be taking time. And if you recall, it was pretty hilarious. Like, as soon as Nick Saban retired, he took the family to Italy. Because his ass wasn't going to Italy while he was head coach of Alabama. There's too much to do. You know what?
I'm sure he loved every damn minute of it, too. You know, I would imagine Miss Sumrall was okay, right? The signing, but I'm sure there was, Like, why don't you go, honey, and take your side of the family with you? Yeah, I would imagine that's kind of what happened there. But, yeah, he's got to lock in. The first year especially, I could imagine that he doesn't leave the office at all unless he's recruiting.
Hey, shout out Cousin Derek. That's what Shane always says. I don't have time to walk. I got too much shit to do.
I'm locked in, baby.
Well, one thing, again, it's very early, right? So it's hard to make declarations or anything. But one thing I've been hearing out of Gainesville, Shane, this receiver they had last year, the Gators know all about him. I don't know if the rest of the SEC's caught on yet, but he was all freshman SEC last year, Vermeil Brown. They've given him the number one jersey. And not only is he playing offense, he was outstanding at receiver. Now he's playing special teams. He's going to be a kick returner. So, man, they are expecting a lot from Vernell Brown. VB3, they call him down there. But I think this is this guy's going to be one of the better receivers in the SEC this year.
That's pretty alarming, right? This number one is a big deal. It is a big, big deal down there. And honestly, if you recall, when we first started having conversations about this, Dallas was brought up, right? And so I would imagine that for him to take over that number one spot, brother, he must be having a hell of a camp right now.
He is. And it sounds, you know, again, very early.
Yeah.
Things are going to change. But more and more, it sounds like, I know we talked with Steven all about this, but I can't recall if we did. The fact that we've got a true quarterback competition down here.
Yeah.
Between Philo and Tramell Jones. Does that give you more or less confidence about the Gators, knowing that we've got a true quarterback competition here?
I mean, it depends on how you – if you're trying to be optimistic, we got two ones, right? Yeah. If you're everybody else, not the Florida Gators, you're like, hell yeah, they can't even figure out who their quarterback is.
But, I mean, I'm sure there's probably going to be some separation during scrimmages.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if they're – whether there is or there isn't, Shane, I think the play, and this is just all across college football now, is some ought to be like, you know, I see things I like about both of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you go into fall with having them battle it out. I mean, I would be kind of surprised. I know we got the Camels early in the season. Here we got the Camels and FAU. It's not like, you know, we can't tip FAU off to who our starting quarterback is, but
there's
really no advantage to doing it too early. So I wouldn't be surprised if this thing goes to, you know, the final weeks of fall camp.
Well, and two, leadership, right? You got to see who takes the reins. This is an opportunity for both those guys. And, you know, I asked Coach on that awesome interview, if you haven't check it out later, you know, about is this spring going to be a little bit different than ones in the past because we don't have that portal? And, you know, I think Coach shoots you straight. He's looking for the guy. And when that happens, he'll be announced. I do not see – let's wait till the Camels or the Owls to figure out who our number one quarterback is. I would imagine going into that fall camp, we're going to know who's getting most of the reps there.
Okay, well, I just really wanted to start with Florida because of that that damn sand bite. That was just too good from Summerall.
Rome, Georgia, that's another one.
We got another important update here, Shane, from old Kalen DeBoering. Update on the quarterback competition, one of the most heated competitions perhaps in the country.
You can tell that they've had a number of reps, you know, from the last year under their belt, you know, playing with confidence, calling the play in the huddle with confidence. Both of them, you know, light years of where they were headed a year ago, obviously, and they should be. So, you know, love, you know, the talent level as far as Axon's current is not a question. It's just a matter of them building the rapport with their skill around them, you know, the making the throws when they're there, feeling the timing and trust, you know, just feeling comfortable in the pocket, you know, and that just comes with time, feeling comfortable with your offensive line doing the job up front. So like what they've done through two practices, you know, create some good explosives on their end, good feel, working the mobility when they have to. And, you know, that's part of football too. Forces scramble drills and things like that when that does come up. That's helps our defense as well. So I think they're really putting a lot of pressure on our defense doing the same to them.
Ooh, how about that, Shane? Any confidence for these quarterbacks after listening to old DeBoring?
Yeah. I mean, that's who I am, right? You know, I get fired up, especially when we got a new guy coming in. It's like, ooh, this is just what Kalen DeBoer needed. So,
but did he? Because it sounds like Ty Simpson is going to go first round.
That's what I'm saying. But this is what I'm buying it hook, line, sinker, because I'm in the Bama camp. I'm in the one that they ain't going nowhere. I know a lot of people are kind of doubting them. I feel like Alabama is going to surprise a lot of folks, and I believe the biggest surprise will come from that quarterback room, regardless of who they put out there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How do you upgrade over a first round pick, though?
Hall of Fame quarterback. You know,
first based round, on what?
The performance that we're about to see in 26.
No, but I mean, what gives you any indication that's going to be the case? That's what I'm worried about.
No, I'm that guy. Grass is greener. So, yeah, I got to see what we were last year. I've got to see what we were the last few seasons. And I feel like year three, you know, DeBoer had plenty of opportunities to find his guy. So whoever he puts out here, I'm feeling pretty damn confident we're going to have elite quarterback play.
How about this truffling pig? I think it's hard to see that, but 9-3, is that a hot take for Bama? I don't think that's.
No, 9-3, you're in my opinion. You should be.
Hmm.
I get to pick the three, though, you know, so it's got to be Georgia, probably. It probably needs to be Tennessee and LSU on the road. That would have to be the three that you lost.
You'd sign up for that tomorrow.
Nah, I'm 10-2. I'm 10-2.
Okay. No, but I meant as a Tennessee guy, though.
Oh. Yeah. I guess maybe that was me talking there.
Now, here's
at least on the road, you know.
Here's the problem, Shane, with all this. Yeah. Again, we're all going to get hyped up quarterbacks, right? Oh,
uh-huh.
They look miles better than they did this time last year. Well, how about you totally rebuild offensive line and new offensive line coach? How's that going, DeBoer?
Drills and things like that, when that does come up, that helps our defense as well. So I think they're really putting a lot of pressure on our defense. Our defense doing the same to them.
The turnover that you're looking at on the offensive line is high, even for the transfer portal era. Mm-hmm. Between all the new starters you need and a new offensive line coach, I mean, have you ever started from scratch with an offensive line quite like this?
Maybe not quite to that extent across the board when you talk about the coach and all the players. But you've had times where there's 3-4 starters that you have to replace. And so guys are hungry. Guys come in, they're wide-eyed, ready to learn. It creates competition. That's what you want across your team, but especially in that room. And they, you know, really made a lot of improvements in the strength and, you know, really excited about, you know, you want to be excited about every guy, but excited about some certain guys in particular. And now you just got to see that translate onto the football field. And right now there's still some thinking going on. They're trying to get used to just what their job is, much less trying to get used to playing with the guy next to them and hearing those calls when the bullets are really flying. Walkthroughs are one thing, in the meeting rooms another. But now you get on the football field. So there's a learning curve that these guys will go through. But I'm excited about what Coach Clem brings and, you know, the mindset. And that's really what you're trying to create as a football team. But especially up front, you're creating a mindset, creating an attitude here as you go through the practices.
Ooh, do you got the mindset of a champion, Shane? Because they're trying to establish that down in Tuscaloosa.
All right, maybe I reel it back a little bit. 9-3 is pretty good. We get to 9-3, we're all right.
Yeah, well, he said it himself. He's never had to deal with this kind of transition on the offensive line.
A little panicked in that statement, too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're trying to read between the lines here, but not oozing with confidence there. So I felt like when you looked at some of the teams last year that struggled mainly at the end of the season, it was because of the trenches. It was because of those big uglies up front. So if we're talking this way now, again, it's early, right? I mean, we got plenty of time, but yeah, maybe I'm not as confident after that, but that's it. Alabama's gonna be a roller coaster of emotions.
Would you rather have an elite quarterback or an elite offensive lineman? You can't have both.
Offensive line, yep, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and that's why I saw a shift, You saw it this year with the NIL, and I like we'll talk more South Carolina at some point, and obviously they've dealt with some injuries, but one of the reasons that I was leaning toward a kind of a positive uptick with them is just how much they hit the portal for linemen, and I feel like, brother, that's where we're shifting. You've got to have those guys.
Hey, shout out to Frankie from Ace Brazos Valley. Shane, he's giving us tickets to A&M Texas if we want it.
Shit.
Two tickets. Hit us up, Frankie.
That yeah,
SEC Frank. Podcast at gmail.com.
Come on, cuz. Come on. Let's do it. I'm game.
That'd be a hell of a game to go to, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Is it a playoff game?
Yeah, I guess you could argue which Texas A&M we're going to get to see. Is it the playoff game or is it the regular season one? November 27th is going to be absolutely awesome. And it's back at College Station. Yeah. Oh, Lucci. He'll hook it. We'll be set. We'll hit every barbecue spot down there.
The only problem.
Yeah.
We were thinking about the Tennessee game. Can we go to a College Station twice in 3 weeks?
honestly, I guess it's based on performance, right? If A&M's having a bad year or let's say more of a down year, I would want to do the Texas one. So same thing with Tennessee. The only reason I would put Tennessee and A&M up there is if we're looking at two top 10 teams, top 15 teams at that point.
Man. What if, what if Texas has a bad year?
Well, they're not. But if they do, just kidding.
Well,
if
you're just saying all these other teams are going to be shitty.
Well, then we better watch the Tennessee-Texas game. We better get it early, cuz.
Well, I was having this discussion with Steven. Sorry to keep just repeat talking points from other shows, but I may have been totally wrong on Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
I mean, basically, this is what we do, right, on this show in the off season. We just kind of we take one side, and then we talk enough, we take the other.
Yeah.
I mean, 8-5, 8-4 regular season, not great. Obviously, fans got disappointed.
Yeah.
But if I promised you, Shane, the day Nico walked out the door, that Tennessee was going to go 8-4, I think you would have said, "Well, I guess Heupel's coach of the year, isn't he?"
Yeah.
And then we're sitting here like, oh, God, is Heupel about to get fired? Like, maybe have a little bit of perspective on what last year was. And maybe I've been a little too hard on Tennessee. What could you see that?
Yeah. I think the one thing that you can point out with at least Tennessee's schedule last year, in my opinion, right, and I am biased, I will admit, but – three of the losses were to playoff teams, and one of them should have been in the playoffs, right? 10-2 Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, given that circumstances and what I saw on the football field, I was convinced that they could beat Oklahoma, probably should have beat Oklahoma. They had an opportunity to beat Georgia, right? So I don't know, man. I know we give the Vols a hard time. I know Josh Heupel gets – I mean, I'm telling you, it just blows my mind. Just the short memory that some Vol fans have, because you forget about Pruitt and Dooley and Butch Jones and all that shit that came through there, right? We finally got 8, 9, 10 win seasons, and we're just ready. Like, if he can't get us to the championship, we're out. I'm not there, man. I feel like, yeah – it's going to take the right opportunity. It's going to take the right group of portal kids probably, but I still feel like there could be a special season here in the next few years with Josh Heupel.
And perhaps that Georgia game, Shane, being so awesome, not the end for you, but it was so great game, and I think expectations were low on Tennessee till that game. Then everybody said, my God, I guess Tennessee's playoff team again.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was almost like that raised the expectations to maybe where they shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair?
That's fair. That's very fair. Yeah. Dude, I'm in. I'm in the orange camp.
Okay. All right, sorry to go sidetrack you there. Yeah. Well, the reason Tennessee wasn't there last year, Shane, is because of them. Oklahoma Sooners, yeah. Shane, how about it? I don't have any clips here. Venables, he's kind of long-winded here. But how about this? According to Brent Venables, I thought this was interesting, Shane. He said, you know, Jason Witten, he had an NFL job, and he turned it down to be an Oklahoma Sooner. Ooh, what thoughts on that?
Good for him. You know, you got to cut your teeth somewhere, so might as well be over there in Oklahoma. Then maybe he can work his way up to a real good spot over here in Knoxville. But, listen, I don't know how good he can be, but I do know the amount of attention he will bring to that room. I mean, as soon as he landed there, the number one tight end in the country was like, hey, what's going on? You know, so how are you doing? So I'm all for this, man. I feel like Jason Witten on any roster, coaching roster in the Southeastern Conference would have been a win. He is going to be a huge, huge asset there in Norman. And I love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. First time I ever seen Jason Witten, and I probably shouldn't say seen because I didn't see him personally, but we had like old blue chip magazines that come out like back in the day before Huddle videos and all this shit.
Yeah.
You'd get like the USA Today top deal, and there'd like a list of 100 greatest athletes in the state of Tennessee. And right at the top was this guy. And I'm like reading the thing, and it's like 6'5", 6'4". I don't know how tall he was. He may have flubbed it a little bit. 280 pounds. Like, good God, I'm glad we don't have to play that guy. You know? So the first time I've ever saw Jason Witten was in this blue chip magazine. And I was just thankful I didn't have to line up against him that season.
Well, I think same thing could be said for Oklahoma last year. Now maybe it's to Texas when it comes to Parker Livingston.
Yeah.
Shane, switch sides.
Trainer.
Man, what a story this has been. And now I guess we're going to get this flared up. You know, now Oklahoma opens camp. It gets going again. I can only imagine, you know, game day or whatever. They're probably going to interview this guy right before the game, and then it's going to get going again. But the quote from Oklahoma camp here, Parker Livingston: if I didn't have an agent, I'd probably still be in Austin right now. So that went viral. And I think a lot of people are taking it the wrong way, as if to say, you know, he was going to stay at Texas, but then he wanted a little bit more money in Texas and get the hell out of here. But apparently what he was really trying to say was, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a football player. Yeah. I have an agent. The agent let me know, you know, they were maybe not been in the plans, or they're wanting to allocate all this money to all these other receivers. And believe it or not, Shane, Texas is, we may assume they have an unlimited budget, but I don't think they do. So thoughts on that, Parker Livingston? We're getting this going again. And the fact that, you know, he stayed in this damn rivalry, just switched sides.
Well, I feel like it makes the Red River a little more interesting. Not that it needed it, but now we've got a little extra, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I'll tell you, I go to El Torito's, right? And I love their meal. Their meal's fantastic, and it's perfect. Like, when I'm done eating at the El, I'm like, I'm perfect. But then, Mike, and then here comes the Livingston. Those little chips with that powdered sugar and a little whipped cream. Doesn't cost a thing, but they bring these little bastards out at the end. It's like, I didn't eat it, but I'm loving it. It made this meal even better. So I'm that's the Livingston for me, is like, we didn't need it, but by God, when this game kicks off, we're going to feel it. That locker room's going to be feeling it on both sides. We got a traitor across the lines, you know what I'm saying? And then vice versa. I hate these bastards. Let's get them. So yeah, it's going to amplify that game. Not that it needed it, but man, it's going to be, I can't wait for it.
Just always comes back to El Torito. Doesn't matter what the question is, that's the answer.
I'm telling you, I don't know what those little chips are called. And I probably shouldn't have them. I think they're cinnamon, but whatever.
They are cinnamon.
What do you say? I mean, no.
Just no.
No, that's not nice.
Oh, buddy. And he also confirmed, I thought this was kind of interesting. He said, which I mean, I guess it's kind of captain obvious, but it was kind of interesting to hear, you know, because in college football, people may not want to wrap their heads around this, Shane, but I think some of these rivalries and such, they don't mean as much to the players. And that's only natural because, hell, these guys are switching teams left and right. I mean, imagine in the 90s, one of Texas' star receivers going to Oklahoma. That would never happen. Yet that's kind of the reality we're in. I thought it was interesting. He said, at Texas, no, all the players, this is the game they want. And now he's going to live it on the other side. I'm sure it's the same for Oklahoma. But it's kind of cool to hear that there are still some rivalries that are just massively important to everybody in the locker room. You know what?
Yeah. No. That I sense it in a couple of games, right? Used to be real, real good with the Iron Bowl, but the Egg Bowl is one of those that just kind of stands out to me. And I remember it wasn't that long ago, we had so many fights. And I'm not condoning fights, right? But, you know, that's why we watch hockey, you know? So a fight every now and then is not a bad thing, but I like those emotions that are tied to that rivalry, and I'm all for it, man. Make it as heated as possible.
And then the other thing I thought was interesting, so they had their media day down in Norman. And now, again, maybe it's a little coach speak, even though it's player speak, I guess you'd call it. But a lot of the transfers, they said, hey, what made you want to come to Oklahoma? And all these guys, Shane, said John Mateer and his recruitment of him. Arkansas offensive tackle, Imarian Harris, who's probably going to be a starting tackle this year. Virginia receiver, Trill Harris, who's going to be a starter for Oklahoma. Parker Livingston, we already mentioned. And then Florida tight end, Hayden Hansen. They all reference John Mateer and his recruitment of them to Oklahoma. So does that do anything for you, the fact that your star quarterback is out here busting his ass to get reinforcements on his side of the football?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Because, you know, I think there's a few people out there, there's a few fan bases out there that think Oklahoma, you know, was more about opportunities, opportunistic, if you will, last season. But how do you double down? You repeat business. You go back to the playoffs. You establish. This is that old Baker Mayfield planting your flag. You want to plant your flag in the Southeastern Conference? By God, go to the playoffs 2 years in a row, because there's a lot of elite blue chip programs in this conference that aren't doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, another blue chip elite program, Shane, even though they don't want to hear it, up in Norman. Texas, mighty Texas, Shane, how about it? I don't know if you've heard, Arch Manning, limited. Oh, buddy, he's limited in practice. Now, this is because he had a surgery in the offseason, so it's not like he got hurt at practice or anything. So that's a key difference there. But the fact, you know, this is money year for literally everybody here. Arch is, again, does he need a ton of practice? Probably not, but he's out. Mm-hmm. Justice Terry, elite defensive lineman prospect, he's out. Ty Anthony Smith expected to miss. Does it do anything for you? Does it bother you at all that the golden goose, so to speak, is limited here for Texas?
Nah. I mean, you know what you got, right? I feel like we got to be safe. When you're seeing some of these kids get hurt, you know, because this is that time of year, last thing you want to do is set Arch Manning back going into, you know, the off season here. So, no, I'm not worried at all. In fact, it wouldn't be a bad idea to see some of that competitive depth behind him. How you like that Steven spin zone, huh?
No, literally word for word. Because I already asked Marlo that. That's what he said.
Oh, he
said competitive depth. Yeah. But he noted, you know, there's been a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, hell, playing 9 games now in this conference. God forbid, you know, quarterbacks go down. Yeah. You want to make sure the backups got some reps. So, yeah, I think more important, Shane, Arch practice in spring or Arch there in the fall. I mean, Captain Obvious, we want him 100% in the fall. You know what?
Without a doubt. Yeah, and What do we have? Ole Miss and Oklahoma both lost a quarterback. I mean, to make that playoff, they had to have someone else step in. So, yeah, this is that. And we're going to 9 SEC games. Hell yeah, you're going to need some backup, son.
Now, how about this? So, Sharkeesian, he said the receivers and running backs?
Yeah.
Top to bottom. Probably as talented as we've had in my time here.
Let me turn the air on. Oh, it's getting hot in here, baby.
Sounds like a drink from last year, doesn't it?
No. Don't you put that evil on this football team, Mike. Ooh. No. This is because we know that this is the most talented Texas team that we've seen in the SEC so far. So, oh, man, what a schedule. They should have done this last year, right? They should have put all these guys together last year.
I don't know. It's interesting. So you're buying it? You're buying it best receivers and running backs we've had?
Oh, yeah. Not even close.
Even though none of these running backs have done it in the SEC or at Texas?
Well, that's fair, right? When you have an elite passing game, it's going to open up. I mean, I just feel like this is going to be a great
At what point was it elite last year?
No, I'm saying this year with this wide receiver room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when they put all this together, you know, it's like getting all the Avengers together. You know what I'm saying? You just know they're going to whoop some ass. They may get beat up here or there, right? But they're going to take down the bad guy at the end. And that bad guy may be Oklahoma.
Any concern? Again, I know he's a freak show and he showcased his talents, but devil's advocate over here. I've heard Cam Coleman. I mean, what did he? He didn't do much at Old Auburn, did he?
No, don't even start. No, he just
that was more about the quarterback play, don't you think?
Absolutely. And the offense, absolutely. And Cam's not going to be the only guy out there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still going to want to double him. They're still going to want to put, you know, kind of eliminate him, but you just can't. The kid's an absolute freak athlete, brother. He's phenomenal. Stays healthy, he'll be really, really good.
Hey, shout out Between the Hedges for five memberships. Hey, let's talk a little Georgia, because I heard this right before we hopped on, Shane.
Yeah.
Well, shit, I just gave it away, but... one team in the SEC favored in every game next year.
Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh! I mean, that's not a surprise. I mean, they typically always are.
Yeah.
But that's kind of interesting, isn't it? That they're the only team in the conference that is favored. I don't know. This was, I got this from Brett McMurphy. He was on Feinbaum and said it. And I guess he's down in Vegas, so talking to odds makers.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that there's a line set for all these games by any means, but he did say that. He said this is the only team favored in every game. How big of a surprise, if at all, is that?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, we used to do this with Alabama every year, right? And the reins have been handed over. But the argument I hear is about the teams they're not playing. You know, that's what I keep hearing with Georgia. It's not that they're going to be favorites or underdogs in any games. It's just that they're not playing, in the opinion of you know, the majority, the toughest teams in the Southeastern Conference. There's some really good games, but I feel like schedule, because we went through this the other day, as far as scheduling gods, I think Kirby got off pretty good here.
Yeah, and it's just... It's one of those where, I mean, I hate to keep repeating myself, Shane, but we don't really know.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple of teams here. Case in point, I mean, Arkansas, I think Arkansas could be a lot better. They're not going to be favored to beat Georgia. I don't care where that game's played. But what if Auburn's undefeated? I mean, that's not like crazy talk. What if Florida is... you know, 6-1 or whatever, but, you know, maybe a different story. What if Ole Miss is better than, you know what I mean? So there's a lot that could happen.
Yeah, that's true.
To say that Georgia won't be favored by the time those games kick off, but until we've seen it, until we have some answers, Kirby Smart and Georgia, they deserve the benefit of the doubt over anybody in this conference.
And I feel like we do that, right? We've got it pegged on who's got the toughest or the easiest schedule, and then that's flipped upside down when you got a 10-2 Vanderbilt team, you know, or an Ole Miss team or an A&M team that just can't lose, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, I feel like obviously you look at the paper, you can it's easy it, you could try to guess, but who knows? It may be the toughest damn schedule out there.
Yeah, you just never know. You know what?
Or at least we could, that's what we pivot when we start losing. Like, well, damn. Look how tough our schedule was. I just did it with Tennessee, right? We lost the playoff teams.
Well, speaking of tough schedule, Shane, some people saying the toughest, and we've talked about this the other day, is old Kentucky.
Yeah.
And old Will Stein. I do have a short clip from him, but I don't have a clip of this because it was on the Kentucky Sports Radio. He did an interview.
Yeah.
They asked him about his thoughts on this schedule and how ridiculous it is. So I'm going to read you word for word. This is Will Stein's words, not mine.
Uh-huh.
Quit being scared. If you're scared, go to church. Come on. What are we supposed to do? You want me to call schools and say, hey, can you please not play us? I'm so scared. Golly, man, I signed up for it. This is the SEC. I love to hear that.
You're scared, go to church. Put that on a shirt. I like it. I'll write that up. The old Stein effect here. I like this, man. I mean, that's what you got. Scare money, don't make money, right? You got to say that. You got to beat your chest and say, hey, this is what we plan on doing. Now, if we go 4-8, we're going to be like, well, I mean, look at the schedule, Christ's sake, you know?
Yeah, but we need some confidence. We need some bravado.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never, Shane, am I comparing anybody to the great Steve Spurrier, because I think he's the greatest talker of all time of the SEC coaches.
Yeah.
And I think he's the second best. I mean, hell, I wasn't alive for Bear Bryant, but I got Saban 1, I got Spurrier 2 all time when it comes to SEC head coaches. So uh-huh. I'm not putting him in that class, but what did Spurrier do, Shane? He ran his mouth and he got confident. He got Duke confident.
Yeah.
He went down to Florida. He got them confident. I think we've been missing some of this, and I think at a place like Kentucky, I think you desperately need this to punch above your weight, so to speak.
Yeah, because if the coach sounds scared, the players will be scared, right? So, and we ain't got no scared folk. They ain't got no church folk up there in Lexington. Come on.
You know who else is ready to speak up, Shane?
Road Tide.
Showing up boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Stephen Up. He says, here you go, Shane. It's for you. $20
Thank
for
you,
putting
cuss.
In the miles. Keep it up.
Oh, buddy. I'm wearing down, man.
I mean, you got cousins like this sending you money and giving you encouragement.
I know.
That should be enough to get in at least half mile.
I'm thinking I'll do one today. And then that means I have to do two the following 2 days, which I've been doing 2 mile walks, you know, or I don't do it. And then I do three the next, I'm going to get it, Steven. I'm going to get it. Cause I promise.
The Steiner recliner.
Dude, that was my favorite. Big Papa Pump, you know, and the Steiner brothers. That was me and my brother, you know, the Steiner brother.
Hey, shout out Derek. He says, yeah, by October, Will Stein will be saying, well, hell, we play a tough schedule. But I love this clip because this is kind of getting a little personality from our new Kentucky coach. He just got hired, right?
Yeah.
By AD Mitch Barnhart. And then, hell, a couple months later, guy's out the damn – well, he's not out the door, but – he's getting paid $1 million to do nothing. But here's Will Stein asked about Mitch Barnhart. Hey, did you see that coming?
Football.
Did he talk to you about that in the interview process at all?
No. But, I mean, you just roll with the punches, man. I'm a football coach. This is a sudden change. And, shoot, we just got a sack TFL on defense, and our offense is back on the field and on the plus 45. And we're ready to take a shot and score touchdowns. So that's all I'm worried about.
Will, but.
I just love the fact he's like, well, it's just like football, you know? We just turned it over, we're going to go score a touchdown. That's what I think of the AD leaving.
Yeah. Always be coaching, you know? Always be coaching. I like it.
coaching them media boys. You know what?
Yeah. Do you think that it's, you know, I always think about the media, right? When I saw Coach down there in Florida and our man with the golden hair asking those questions, I was like, to go from Billy Napier to John Sumrall, you hit a home run. You know, I see Marler down there in LSU. To go from Coach Kelly to Lane Kiffin, you hit a damn home run. How fun is that room? You know, even when Lane Kiffin left, I still feel like Pete is hilarious. He's a coach. He is going to be, we're going to get a lot of great sound bites from him. You know, Stein, do you think going from, you know, the same old schmamo for the last, 15 years it felt like, now we've got the Steiner recliner here talking. I would imagine that's a breath of fresh air, right?
Absolutely. How could it not be? I mean, they needed a program reset. It's just a Herculean task. And, hey, I'll be rooting for them, Shane. But, yeah, I think they desperately needed something after their – what was their offseason? It was motivated or whatever.
Yeah. The only downgrade, and I'm saying I'm gonna be careful. I'm gonna put an asterisk beside this. Was goalish, and the reason I say that is because Hugh Freeze sounded so dumb. You're right. Like he just gave us. Remember, 9 times out of 10, and all this stuff. All the. Remember the weight
We're
room?
We're so close. We're so close.
What did
close.
He say about the weight room joke or something?
We need length and girth to win in this conference.
Length and girth, you know? So the dumb comments from Hugh Freeze. But I do feel like Golish, once heated, we can get some good stuff from him as well.
And what other from Stein? He said, "We're the motto of the football program?
Yes.
6 seconds of hell." I like that. There you go. 6 seconds of hell in between every whistle. You know what?
God, that's me, man. Put my socks on.
Hey, speaking of Auburn, let me ask you, since you got me thinking now of Auburn.
Yes.
And Golish. So this guy is on the record, Shane. $30 million roster.
Yep.
And they're just, you know, they're a complete afterthought. Fair or not. I mean, I guess the last couple seasons, I guess that is fair. But new term, new, completely new offense, new players and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What's $30 million get you these days?
It's a shame we have to say that, right? It's a shame. I mean, $30 million, could you imagine? That was the Powerball back when I was a kid, you know? You hit $30 million, you could change. That's generational wealth right there. But now it's like, does it even pay for a roster? It should, but everyone else has got $30 million invested, you know, especially right. If you're counting Disney money. So, it's sad that we're to this point. We need to fix this, right? So we'll find the hotel and we'll get it bugged and we'll let you know what's going on.
Hey, Liquid says 6 seconds socks, Shane. That's what we'll call you. And then Razor Bass says, "Hey, my wife's been trying to recruit length and girth for 10 years."
Oh, shit. Oh, cousins, it's getting late.
Well, we better thank the cousins before we say something we regret here, Shane. Yeah. Shout out again, Between the Hedges. He gifted 5 memberships, Shane, to Savannah Carter, Fuzzy, cool name, Ryan Mack, Evan Grimes, we appreciate you, and IG Basketball Talk. All of y'all, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy
Between the Hedges.
All right, buddy. Hey, any other closing thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Nope. Look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. Don't forget.
We may not be a show tomorrow.
We're going to see you tomorrow. Nope. We're just going to play it by ear. And, yeah, didn't see that one coming. But I will tell you this, because we got a lot of cool shit. I mean, there's some stuff in the works right now that I think the cousins are going to really enjoy. I'm not going to give you too much, but it will be done this weekend. So keep those notifications on. And thank you for subscribing and hanging out with us. We got some good stuff for you, I promise. It may be the off season, but by gosh, we're getting off to a good start this season.
Yep. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.